But you don't do what lots of denominational, you create the evangelism program and send people out who don't have this, because if you don't have this, you ain't going to get that. Right. And because this out here, Great Commission, it's not about knowing how to witness to people. It's more about reflecting the glory of God to people because of what he's doing in my life. And so those two don't, you know, a lot of times we don't make the connection between the two, but there's a significant connection between the two. So as we're thinking about going out of here, all the things that we said about being here and then going here and my heart being in here, and I'm stepping out toward some relationships, discipling-wise and leadership development-wise, lead to the Great Commission, which was going to be part of my talk last night, but I never got to it. So thank you this morning, buddy, for finishing that up for me. I really appreciate that. There's some things you want to do here the next little bit that are really practical in nature. They're not so much, I'm not here to give you more information. It's really more about taking what we've gotten so far, which is plenty. If you don't take anything but the two panels, we've got plenty. And so we want to kind of bring it into a focus that allows us to walk out of here and say, how do I take the prayerful impartation and go back and do implementation? Or as was said there so profoundly a few minutes ago, how do I release this? So I think we think about, instead of implementing a program, as is often the way I think, how do we go back and now release this? And the Lord has a unique plan for everybody here to be able to do that. So let's just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for being here with us, and we're just so grateful. And we're going to pray some more to you, but we just want to I want to take my time, offer it up to you. Pray that what I say with my tired body and mind, that you would connect that with all the tired bodies and minds that are in front of me, and that together we would be able to hear with a sense of energy and intenseness, that we would be able to hear from your spirit about what practically we do as a result of being here the last couple of days. Help us not to miss that, but to engage with it in the next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just make a couple, three statements to kind of get us into where we're going. One of the things that the church has lost is that the church in our times now, in this culture, is not the organizing principle of most people's lives. Okay, so I think we can safely say that. So people kind of pick, choose, do whatever. And I think really in our culture, the goal is not to make the church the organizing principle of being at everything for everybody, or coming to my sermon or celebration or church meeting or whatever, as important as that may be. But I think in the complex culture in which we live, which takes us back to Jesus and his 12 disciples, is that we want the church to be the organizing principle of people's lives in the context of a discipling relationship. Because that's where real growth is going to take place. And when we take all those groups and they come together, Matt, there is life. See, that's the life doesn't come from somebody just random individual showing up and coming to my little platform stage life experience. They're getting life. They're receiving life. And when they come into that church body, they're bringing life to give away, or they're bringing life through that discipleship group. So when that group is that, as opposed to, let's say, just being another program of the church or part of the church or a little group we have, then that makes all the difference of the world in what the way we structure things going forward, which we're going to concentrate on here a little bit in terms of the structure. So how do we think about making the church the ongoing principle of people's lives, not with an event-driven mentality, but with a disciple-making mentality, okay? Because that's where the life is going to come, and that's where the life's going to flow, and then whatever we get from the event, then that's just overflow and blessing and all that. So if we can think about it that way, I think that's good. One of the other things that occurred to me as I was listening to everybody talk, you know, and the thing we hear all the time is, man, we're so busy. We can't do this. We can't do that because we're so busy. You all know this. Okay. So that's true. And life gets to be, as you're listening to these pastors talk about, we got to organize the finances, we got to do the leadership of the church, and we got to be on top of this and the business and blah blah blah. I mean, if you're a pastor, it gets really complex really fast. Really complex really fast. And so the thing, being a simple person as I am, I'm always asking the question, Lord, how do we simplify this? Okay, how do we simplify this? And if you're a pastor, I think the way, one of the ways to think about this, and I'm not the answer guy here, please don't think that I'm the answer guy for all this. I'm just throwing out some ideas here. But one way to think about that is sort of, I divide my life into what we call administrative leadership that I'm responsible for, and then I divide my life over here into shepherding. That doesn't mean that this doesn't flow to this and this doesn't flow to this necessarily, but if you're a leader, what you do is you, in the administrative sense, is your responsibility is to delegate. Good leaders delegate. And so in the administrative arenas, delegate. That means training people to do the finances or whatever so that they can be it can be delegated to them in a trustworthy manner, but we delegate to people in that regard. Over here, you don't delegate, you impart, you invest, you relate over here. So let's separate out the two words, delegate and relate, because over here you don't delegate, you impart, and you impart to them, then they impart to others. So if we can think about the difference in being an administrative leader of the church and being a person who is a shepherd of the church, going back to Jeff's comments earlier with the fivefold ministry and all that, then over here we're thinking about how we impart life to people in the context of disciple making. Over here, I've got responsibilities I got to take care of, and I got to take care of those things. And I got to divide my, as a pastor, I got to divide my time, my life up, my time up in how I'm going to do that and get a proper balance on a pie chart here of amount of time I'm going to spend with this and amount of time I'm going to spend with this, and then be brutal with ourselves about taking, about sticking with it. So back to Matt's comments there. And I think that's, those are significant in things. That leads me to say this, that then if those things are, if we're saying that and those things are practically true, then I must say that in this shepherding arena, it's exceedingly important for me to be highly intentional. Okay, you notice that I'm emphasizing words here if you didn't catch that. I need to be highly intentional. And what I need to be highly intentional about, write this word down, is nurturing. See, I don't, and where these two areas get mixed up is I have a leadership team, or I have my deacons or whatever, and my goal is to use them to help us get the church to grow. Okay, that's what these guys are for. Okay? Okay? It's not Jesus' way of doing that. Intentional nurture can be applied here, and it can be applied here. That whatever of those two, administrative delegating worlds or imparting, releasing, relating worlds, those two can then mix over once you've got all that administrative stuff taken care of. But now the whole goal is, when I meet with people, my deacons, my elders, my finance committee, my whatever, my goal is always nurture. Man, we see that in youth ministry all the time. I mean, you ask your average youth pastor at a church if he has a leadership team. Most of them don't. and that's why they're herding cats. And when they do, it's almost always to use those people to reach their growth goals for this youth ministry. And where did they learn that? From the people above them who lead them. So if we can just say in our little hearts and minds here, I'm going to go back with a high level of intentionality toward nurturing people. Okay, just in a general sense, nurturing people. Day-to-day contact to contact. I'm in a delegation meeting with the finance person, and it's not fun for me at all. That's, if you're like me, that's true. But I'm going to use that as a nurturing time. So I see my whole life as nurturing as a pastor. I'm shepherding. I've got these delegated things over here, and I've got relational, but I'm always looking for how I nurture people. And when we get over here to this intentional nurture, that can spread across the board to every person. However, okay, so let's put the however in here. Because we're saying, okay, this comes all the way across. We're bringing this and this to every person that we meet. However, it is highly important to have structured relationships in your nurturing. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be a pastor, a leader in a church, you can sort of nurture everybody you meet in a general sense. But if you want to have a multiplied, ever fruit producing, disciple making, reach the world for Jesus approach to this thing, then you can't disciple everybody. So we have to stop and say, okay, it goes back to our equip and multiply cell that we'll come to in a minute. But what has to happen is we've got to see ourselves as people who are investing in a small group of other strategic leaders. And that's determined by praying, asking the Lord to show you who those people are. May be likely people, may be unlikely people, but I am going to invest in my leadership team. Okay, we did that yesterday. And that group is all I can do. There may be 25 other people asking me to mentor them, but it's not my job to say yes. My job is to say, no, I can't do that. However, I have 12. If we're like Jesus, maybe it's just 6 because I'm half like Jesus, okay, or whatever. But I've got a number of people that I am investing in a disciple-making relationship, and those people then are going to be discipling others. And so all those other people that need to be mentored, then they begin to come a part of this whole relationship thing. And a lot of times I think as pastors, we think, okay, my job's to do it all. I got to do it. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do the other. No, really, you don't. Seriously, just relax and say, hey, I can take a deep breath and say, no, I do not need to disciple everybody. Now, it appears that Lee disciples everybody in the world. Okay, it appears that way. Okay, it's not true. Lee is a nurturer across the board, and that's why you feel drawn in. Okay. Okay, so that's a beautiful thing. It's a gift he has. All of us probably have some level of that, and that's a beautiful thing. But that's that nurturing thing. But he can't disciple any more people than anybody else can disciple.
Right.
Okay? He can encourage. He can take guys on trips. We can do the same thing. We can relate to, connect with, help. You know, that's a part of the whole general shepherding. But when it comes to disciple making is about taking a small group of people, investing in them with a view toward what we talked about yesterday. Follow me, but I'm going to make you fishers of men, because in a very short period of time now, you're going to be discipling others. Mm-hmm. And then this comes to addressing something I've heard from several of you here that I want to speak to. It just seems like this is the place to drop this in. But they say, you know, really, I'm not prepared. I'm not adequate. I can't do it. And you're going to hear that. I mean, you're going to hear that from church leaders who have never had been discipled. So people who have never been discipled say, how can I possibly disciple others if I haven't ever been discipled? Well, just stick your flipping leg over the other side of the boat. Okay, stick the leg over and go, because God will give to you what you need as you go. You don't have to go to Bible school to do this. You don't have to be a seminary graduate to do this. You don't have to really know that much. I mean, when I was discipling, clueless. Bill Murray, clueless. I didn't know very much. And most people don't, and we never feel adequate. But as somebody said, just do it. You got to step out and say to people, no, you're going to do that. I'm going to keep meeting with you, and I'm in this relationship with you, and you are going to disciple people, okay? You know, I'm going to do it, and I'll help you get that group together, and I'm going to help you think about it, and then I'm going to give you a push and a shove, and I will oversee it for you, with you, but you are going. I don't know much. I don't have a curriculum. I don't have it, and I'll help us with the curriculum thing in a little while, but I don't have any. I don't have, so what, well, just meet with them.
Right.
Just start meeting with them. I'll show you how to recruit them. I'll show you how to identify who you're going to recruit. I'll show you how to start your first meeting, and I'll take you through the first two or three, and then, okay, and I'm not going to be there, but you're going to go, and I'm going to help you, and then people start building confidence, and they go, and all of a sudden, they're going, whoa, man, God's using me here, and that's how that works, okay? So, I'm not prepared or I'm not adequate is not a good reason or excuse. It's not either one of those. But what I would say to you is that you're going to hear that a lot, and just don't buy into it. Okay? Just don't buy into that. No, really. Because as somebody said last night, you know, they said, I think he or she or whatever it was, I think he or she believes in me more than I believed in myself. Exactly. Because what we do, because we've got this vision for what we're doing with this, I believe in you. I believe in Jesus in you. I believe that what Jesus is doing in you is going to be more than you think Jesus can do in you now. So I have faith for you. I have vision for you. I have ministry desires for you that I see in you that you probably don't see now, but if you take a step in that direction in due time, you'll grow into the way I am viewing you. Not in a controlling sense of I'm getting you to do this, but in a ministry sense. Yes? Okay. So that being said, let's go back to thinking about from 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, how we structure relationships. I got notes all over this page. I'm hoping I can follow the arrows that I put to myself here. But let's go back to structured relationships. Okay. So what we've just said is, okay, I can't disciple everybody, but I need to be in these structured relationships. And if I'm going to do that, what is that going to look like? Well, when you go to 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, you see some things there that help us with those structured relationships that make those make sense, okay? So the first one is, and this is, by the way, this is kind of transitioning from what we just said into kind of a recap and kind of saying, okay, what do I take away from here? What do I walk away with? And so we go back and say, my son, it's amazing how this appears over and over again, but how the up and out thing, but my son, be strong in the grace. Here's all the resources. Here's how I define grace. Grace is God's supernatural ability in you through the cross and the resurrection. Grace has nothing to do with me except that I got my hand up, okay? I'm saying, Lord, help me. Grace and mercy to me, please. So I raise my hand up. I say, Lord, grace to me. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And that grace comes from God. And from John 1:16 is a beautiful picture there. Jesus is talking about Jesus, they're giving us grace upon grace. From His grace, we have all received one grace upon another, okay? From His fullness, we've all received grace upon grace. And so the idea there is, and I experienced this when Carol died, there were days I couldn't put one foot in front of another. It's grace. Lord, just grace me to get my daughter to school, okay? So I say that in that context, back to that illustration, which was kind of a dire deal. But on a normal day, it's like, Lord, I still need grace. Yeah. And when these people are going out in these to start these discipleship groups or whatever, they're going to need to be, like Paul said to Timothy, be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. Because it's not about you and all your adequacy and ability and Bible knowledge and so on and so forth. It's about Him. So, Lord, I'm leaning into your grace for this. And I keep my hand up and say, Lord, please, just keep pouring it out to me. be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And then these things which you have heard from me now, okay, it's grace into Paul, grace into Timothy, in this graceful relationship now, okay, he goes on to say that, you know, these things which you have heard from me, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So there's a graceful relationship where there's an entrusting of passing on to from Paul to Timothy what Paul has learned, and then he passes it on then to others. Okay. So what we see here is really a simple, beautiful, simple picture. But Paul is simply saying here, I'm taking what God has graced me with, and I'm taking His Word, okay, His Scripture, His Word, and I'm passing it on to you, Timothy, and then you're going to take the things that I've been teaching you that I've heard from Christ, okay, and I'm going to be, and you're going to be passing those on to others. And that's how it goes. And it's just as simple as that. And when we think of our ministry in those kinds, whether you go this way or this way, those kinds of terms, then that's when those structured relationships begin to impart life to people, and they begin to multiply themselves out over time. Lots of principles in there we could talk about. We don't need to do that at this point, but I think we just want to go back and see it and say, yeah, I can look at my ministry. I can go back to 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. I can remind myself that it's by His grace and that it's my simple job in these structured relationships to pass this along, okay? We'll come back to the treasure. Remember the treasure illustration that we used with the Word and the Holy Spirit and prayer and that coming through a leader, okay? The impartation that Jeff was talking about and all the ways that manifests itself, but that coming into this person, to their little group that they're ministering to, and that producing life change and life changers. Yes. 2 Timothy 2. Mm-hmm. That's what that is. That's a picture of it. The gift, the grace gifts of God coming down into me as a leader, me then imparting that to others by His grace. And with a in a structured sort of way, which we'll come back to in a minute, but in a structured sort of way so that people are moving along in their Christian life, and then that over time in this process of being involved in people's lives like this, then that life change takes place, and we are equipping them to be life changers for what purpose? Back to the Great Commission, to bring people into a relationship with Jesus Christ who don't know Him. So that's what we're working on here. So here's what I want to pause, just stop right here. We're going to come back to some even more practical stuff in just about 5 minutes. But I want to give you time now to just pause, take a deep breath with what we said this morning, to look back at what we've already done, which we're going to review again in a few minutes. But I want you to take your plan of action and just whatever you have not filled in on that, I want you to fill it in. If you miss something on the Go Deeper, if you miss something on the Pray with Passion, last night I don't think we did the Disciple People, I want you to just kind of take 5 minutes to be reflective and say, Lord, in an intentional, nurturing, structured sort of way, how do I take these things and build them into my life going home? Okay? And we'll come back to this again in a little bit because this is really important. If you don't write these things down, by the way, all the busyness and craziness of stuff, you'll never give everybody another minute to get in here. Yeah. And you want to be a yeser. Oh, yeah, no. We've worked on our plan of action. Just hold on to that. That's coming back around here in just a few minutes. Okay, when we get it toward our prayer time, that's going to come back around. But I want to just take a few minutes just to kind of take what we've done and summarize it. And if I could get the PowerPoint folks back there to help me, that would be great, because we don't have these necessarily arranged. Can you go back to the treasure that is like the lost art, the first one, and the treasure diagram that was at the end, and just pull that up? I'm just refreshing our minds about where we've been and where we're going, kind of bringing this thing in for a landing here, okay? So here we just alluded to that a few minutes ago. Okay, here we are. We're taken from 2 Timothy 2:2. We're taking from the grace of God, and we're imparting into the lives of people through the Word, Spirit, prayer, and some of the things that Jeff mentioned, and all that God gives us there. And I am a disciple maker who is discipling others for life change and helping them become life changers. Simple enough. I think we've all got that. Yes? Yes and amen?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, so I want to go from that diagram. Then I want us to look at the Jesus focus diagram, the circle diagram, of which there are plenty of those on this. And I just want us to go back through there and say, when you're looking at your plan of action that you just have worked on over the last couple of days, there are a couple things that I want us to reflect on here, okay? And I'm going to try to tie this together in a meaningful way. But there are two ways I want you to think about it now, okay? So if you've got your plan of action there or a piece of paper or whatever, I want you to think about this, not what taking notes on what I'm saying, but what you're saying to yourself about this, okay? So with each one of these, there's a takeaway or takeaways. So the Holy Spirit could have spoken to you in the going deeper section, and you got a takeaway, okay? But I'm going to also give us one in case somehow he didn't, and you can walk away with that too. But the Lord has been speaking to us, so we just want to kind of focus in. Instead of leaving that sort of out there on a piece of paper, let's begin to draw that in. So put your, to kind of take your plan of action and put it there in front of you, and sort of this, kind of see this as about a 10-minute working session here where we think through this, and then we're going to try to answer some questions. But okay, so here's Jesus, and we say, okay, I see my need for health and wholeness. I saw some things about myself where I need to go deeper with Jesus. I see where I need to step into letting God really heal me in some places so that I can be a healer of others. So for my own sake, of my own relationship to God, what has he said to me while I've been here? That's the question you just want to take just a minute. And if you want to, while we're just doing this, you can, on your plan of action, on the very first page, it says summary plan of action, okay? And you can just write that down there. Just go back, take a second to review that. We're just going to kind of prayerfully walk through this a little bit. But just take your little plan of action page, and where it says summary plan of action summary, just write down there, okay, this is what the Lord said to be about going deeper with him, okay? You can look at your plan of action page that you wrote a couple days ago, bring that over to this page. Maybe he's saying something to you now. The takeaway that I would give would be, if nothing else, Mark 1:35 is what the guy said this morning from Lance's group. Says, okay, here, the big takeaway for me this whole week is get up. Okay, I just got to get up for Mark 1:35. So whatever the Lord's saying to you there, just jot that down and say, this is what I believe the Lord wants me to do, to go deeper with him going home. It's not God's long-term plan for me in this necessarily, but when I go back, I know there's some things that I need to do, and this is what I'm going to do. And you don't need more than three. Really, you don't need but one if that's all the Lord's giving you. So feel comfortable about that. But just write that down right now. I'll just give you a few seconds on each of these, you know, just a little bit of time. And then I'm going to move to the next one, and you just keep writing, okay? You don't have to look up here at me. Just keep writing. That's what that's about. And then penetrate the culture takes us over to the Great Commission, which if our heart is right with God here about this, and we're seeing ourselves as mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord, and we're helping the people in our strategic group do that, and we're helping them and their disciples do that, then pretty quickly evangelism starts to take place. You go back here to the prayer triplets, you do that in all your, with your strategic team, your leadership team, you do that with your disciple, first discipleship groups, you build that throughout the church. All of a sudden now you've got an environment of prayer that's taking place where there's lots of non-Christians being prayed for. Does God want them to come to know Him? Yes, He does. So He's working in all these people and their relationships that are evangelistic, shall we say. There are evangelism prospects, if you put it in old-style terms, in new-style terms, that these are people that we love and care about, and we're drawing them in to Jesus. We're drawing them in, and the Lord's going to work in that. So penetrating the culture and then creating outreach opportunities is like, you know, don't do anything because that's we've been event-oriented, and we don't want to kind of go there too quickly here. So the event is only as good as the process. Work on the process, and then the events in your church will find their proper place. I would say, though, that when you're moving toward this in a strategic sort of way, then, as Matt was saying, we've got to organize our time, and we've got to make time priorities and so forth. The events eat your lunch. And so we just talked to youth pastors about, hey, look, you know, I can make a case for you for not doing any events. I can make that case for you. Because really, when we talk to youth pastors about that last one, we say, look, you know, you're trying all the time to get these kids to come on Wednesday, and so, you got a big lights, camera, action show, and so forth. Why don't you just do your outreach by having all your disciple kids who've been praying for their friends have a sleepover, and one shares the gospel, and one shares his testimony, and another one leads him in prayer, and be done with it. How much did you spend? Nothing. How much energy did you put into it? Nothing. Okay. But you did it in a way that is highly engaging for the kids, involves them in ministry. They're fired up about it. It's not about you, bro. It's about them. And so we're working toward getting to that place where outreach is not such an event-oriented thing as it is a relationship-based kind of thing. Okay? So really, at this point, don't worry about it. Just focus on what we're already saying, and that will sort of lead itself. But take your time-wise, take that event thing down and take the relationship thing up, however that works for you. I don't know how that works for you. So there's that, okay? So you've kind of looking at this, you're going, okay, now, looking at my, I'm going to give you just a couple of minutes here, okay, to think through this, but I want you to kind of think through and work through this summary plan of action. You've probably been doing that as I've been talking. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes just to kind of work through it and say, you know, here's a key insight or here's a key doable point that I want to enact when I get home. In the next month, I'm going to do this kind of thing. This is where I want to go with this. This is where I see the Lord speaking to me. And just jot that down on that piece of paper. So when you walk out of here in another hour, whatever it is, then you will have in your little grimy paw, okay, exactly what you see as the result for you of what we've done during this time. Okay, so that's what we're shooting for here. So I'm going to give you just a couple of three prayerful minutes, and then we're going to move on to the next parts of this. More time. Alex needs a half a day, so we're going to leave him here through the evening. I'll tell you about post what to do with this in just a second. I just want to make sure everybody's has had enough time. Anybody, if you need more time, just raise your hand. All right, most of us are through. Keep writing if you raise your hand. Yes, and let me say here, this is a very good point Alex made. I want to suggest this to you. I would suggest that when you leave here with this, with your plan of action in hand, that one of the things that you think seriously about is taking this book, whether you're a pastor or a youth pastor, whatever your role is, take this book right here, apply it to yourself, because everything in here, we've got church planters who have been through our training with us in the past who are doing this as their whole church structure. Okay, this is how they are planting their churches. And so don't worry about the youth part. Just skip over that. If you're a pastor, swallow your pride and say, I'm actually learning something from a youth pastor. And just take this and go, okay, over the next month, I'm gonna prayerfully go through this myself. I may even take the guys that were here with me to go back through it. And for us just to say, okay, what did we get from here? Let's take our notes. Let's process back through, because as Alex says, it's going to take me a month. That's true. When we do these kinds of things, we say to the youth pastor, go back with your team and take a month or 8 weeks, and you all just meet every week and go through it. Or you just meet together and talk about it as it comes. But however you want to structure that, but going back and saying, okay, I'm going to process through this over the next little bit so that I didn't just go to a conference, put the book on the shelf. Which is not the point here. The idea is to go away and say, Lord, what did you do there that you want us to ongoingly do? And that takes a little bit more time than what we've got here to do. Okay? So I'm just making that suggestion to us as we think about taking your plan of action and this right here and doing it. Okay, those things being said. Now, the next thing that I want to do is go back to this equip and multiply cell, because when you, we used that last night, and so just bring that one up when you see it's a little circle with the three other circles around it, okay? And so I want us to look at this, and as we're looking at it, I want to do an illustration here in just a minute that is going to be kind of fun, but I want us to just do this in a way. I want us to think about this equipment. Can somebody put that equipment up there? Okay. So if we could see this, I want us to look at this, because when you look at all those circles and all the things we've said and all this stuff, it can get very complicated really quick. So we can go back to this and this. We can go back to that treasure diagram. We can go back to this thing. But really, in the bottom line, at the very end of the day, we will find it up there, will we not? It's there. Last night, disciple, it's there. If you start at the end and go back, it's not very far back there. At the end of the day, all bodies are made up of cells. And if we are the body of Christ, then the body of Christ is made up of cells. And at the very simplest level, in a beautiful way, God has designed each of us to be a cell. We're not the whole body. Even in our church, we're not the whole body. We're just a cell. And we may have a cell that has lots of influence over the rest of the body, or little less influence or whatever, but all of us are a cell, a live, living, in touch with God, grace of God filled cell that has life in it, that the blood of Jesus flows through, if you will, to the rest of the body. And when you have enough cells that are healthy cells, overcoming the cancerous cells, okay, I'll let you make the application there, okay, to the church, but overcoming the cancerous cells, then you have a healthy body that is giving off life, giving off life. So where do you start with that? You start right there. You start right there and say, okay, that's Jesus is the core behind all that. You just put Jesus in the background there and bring him into the foreground. But that's me in the middle, and I've got three other people, or four or five or six, whatever the Lord gives you. But whatever your little cell is, that's what you're functioning from, okay? And then we're going to help those other people that we're investing in invest in developing their cell, and their three, four, five, six people who then are going to help them develop their cell. And when we do that over time, it's going to multiply itself out in a beautiful way. So let's just illustrate that up here, okay? So let's just do that. Let me get Michael and Alex and Nate to come up here, okay? And yeah, just come up here and stand up here. Let me get my books out of the way so that we don't stomp on them. And so I want you guys to just be right here. And then let's bring up Chad. And so here's Chad. And Chad, just stand right here in the middle of this. Okay, up here. Okay, and now I want you guys to just stay right there, and I want you guys to get around him. Nate, stand in front of him. You just get around him here. You get around him here. Okay, now, look at the cell. Look at this. This is what we got. Okay, well, need one more guy. Okay, so, come on up. Okay, and stand right here with this. Okay?
Do we do this?
No, you can. Michael, you can't. That's not a part of the illustration, but if you want to add it in, you just feel free. Okay? Sure. Well, okay, there you go. So I guess there's a point of that. Okay, here they are. We're all lifting our hands up to the Lord, and we're all reaching out to each other. So I'm going to take Michael's deal here, and we're going to go with it. So hand up, okay, this group. Okay, hand up, hand out on each other. Okay, there you go. Okay, this is getting better all the time. And so here, we've got these guys here, okay? And so now... they're functioning like we've just been talking about functioning the last little bit, and we're put into practice the things that we've said about disciple making and so forth. And so now we say, all right, Nate, just for sake of room here, Nate is going to start his own group, okay? So let's get Nate's group up there. One, two, three guys to come around him. You three guys come up and come around Nate, okay, and do the same thing. Move my books there if you don't mind, so that nobody trips over them. Okay, so then we got the same guys. Somebody stand here in front, right here in front of them. Hand up, okay. You guys can face each other if you want, which is more like what it's really like. And then here Chris is going to then over time he's going to start his own group. So let's have you and you and. And AJ, y'all come on up here, and I want you all to be a part of his group, okay? So you're his, being discipled by him, nurtured by him, invested in by him. Thank you, Alex, thinking about these things, okay? And so now we take these guys here, one, two, three. You guys come on up and get around AJ here at the front, okay? All right? Now, do you see where we're going? So if we keep going with this, okay, you three come on up here and join that one, and you three guys come up and join a group, and you three guys come up and join a group. Okay, let's go. We're moving. And then you guys find your group up here, okay? Get around your group, okay? And then you guys find your group. You find your group, and everybody except Paul comes up here because he didn't sleep good last night, and everybody come up here and be a part of what we're doing. All right?
Great.
Actually, the truth is, this is not an illustration. This is my way of helping Lee get the group picture, okay? Yeah. So you see how we reversed that out? Here I was standing up there. I was the only guy. We got that going with one group of guys. Got to go with another group of guys. Got to go with some other people. Women are tied in there. They're doing okay. So the whole idea is when we start with a healthy cell, and you start with yours. That's all you're really. That's you may be overseeing others down the road, but that's your responsibility and opportunity as the place to start. And when you start with that, the result of that is going to be as you grows healthily by the power of the Holy Spirit, the work of God in your life and your church and that whole thing, the result is going to be this kind of thing going on around you all over the place. Everybody looks to Lee, says, man, Lee's influencing. You are that. That's you. Okay? And all of us have that opportunity. All of us are in that body. All of us are a cell in that body, and when we function as a humble little cell in the body, finding our proper place, the result of that is God, by the power of His Spirit, gives life in every direction. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Okay, end of illustration. Okay, there we go. All right, we're ready for that now, buddy.
That's good, man.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks.
First group itself wasn't the leadership team. No, that was just that wasn't the home, right? It was just.
Oh, that was just an illustration. Yeah, could have been.
Could have been.
You guys are awesome. We could have turned that into an exercise. We could have just. You and I should have done it. Yeah. Everybody. Okay, now that we kind of, that was our also served not as a group picture, but also as the break. So, no, that was the break. That was the break. All right. And so now we're kind of transitioning. You see all this morning, we're kind of transitioning one thing to another. And we're at the place now where we really, really want to pray for one another. Lee's got in his mind what he wants to do. And I want him to explain that. But this is where we say all that we've heard from the first night till now on our plan of action, everything we've just seen, illustrated, everything, we're bringing here. We're saying, Lord, would you give us what we need to be able to do what we've seen we need to do? We know we're swimming upstream. We know this is not an easy thing. We know this is not the general church culture. So it's going to take courage. What is that? Relational courage. It's going to take leadership courage in order for us to do it. So we don't do that without the impartation of God's Spirit upon us to do it. So, Lee, have at it, buddy.
You know, Barry,
just stand next to him.
We'll get it here in a minute.
Do I need to turn something on?
You take that one. I'll fiddle with this one. Just hold it. Just take that.
Barry said a moment ago about 2 Timothy 2:1, which I always use 2 Timothy 2:2 to talk about the 2:2:2 principle, but we can't forget 2 Timothy 2:1, which says, be strong. Where's it, Mike?
Oh, that was right there.
It's on now. Which says, be strong, my son, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Let's just lift our hands and say, Lord, I need your grace.
Lord, I need your grace.
We are acknowledging this morning that nothing that we've heard today and yesterday and Thursday, nothing can be accomplished in us without God doing it in us and the Holy Spirit working in us. And so, Lord, we need your grace in order to go home and implement and to release, as we've heard, release this amazing principle in our lives. And we want to go home and see change and transformation in every church, every ministry that is represented here. What I'm going to ask now is if every senior pastor would stand where you are, please. If you are a senior pastor, I'm also going to ask if you are an associate pastor, you are in that role, or a co-pastor, if you would stand. Now, those of you who are in that position, I'm going to ask that you come down here and just be in a big huddle here in the front. Everyone else who is seated, if you would just face Barry, to come down here and face. What I'm going to ask is that Barry pray over this group, and we're asking for spiritual impartation in every senior pastor, every co-pastor, every associate pastor who is here. We're asking that there would be the grace from God. As you go out of this place, we believe there is impartation from the Holy Spirit to be able to go home and make disciples. And that, you know, it's one thing to receive the information and to discuss it. It's another thing for the Holy Spirit to birth it in our hearts and accomplish it in our hearts. And I believe that God's not going to finish. I mean, he's going to finish what he started here, and that it's going to be by the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's all just get in a place to receive by faith, and I'm going to ask Barry to pray.
And here's what I would like for us to do, just as I'm praying for you, and then Lee can pray too if he wants, but I'm just going to ask that, I'm going to ask us to do something. I want to tell you why before you do it, but I want to ask us in just a moment to kneel down. Hang on a second, don't do that quite yet, but the reason I'm asking us to do that is because where we started at the beginning was that the church is so filled with this, it's all focused on me as the pastor, and really Jesus had that turned upside down, and he was a servant leader. And so I'm just going to ask us to bow down on our knees as a symbol, more than anything else. I'm just simply saying, Lord, my heart is to be a servant leader, and I want my life to be illustrative of that. And so let's just bow down there. Just get on your knees, just if you're able. If you're not able, I totally understand that, because some of us may not be able to do that. But I just want us to just on our faces before God. And I join you there because I want to be the same. So, Lord Jesus, we just bow down on our knees before you. We come before you humbly, not pridefully, not arrogantly, not I'm the big leader guy or girl or whatever, but we come before you humbly, and we call out to you, Lord Jesus, saying that without you, I can do nothing. Just say that out loud to him. Lord, I affirm, without you, I can do nothing. And so, Lord, that puts us in a place where we can cry out for your mercy. Your mercy to heal us. Your mercy to step into our lives through what you did on the cross and in the resurrection, and bring yourself to us who have been radically deformed by sin, but now totally redeemed and transformed by Jesus, and understanding in that context that we still need your mercy.
Yes, God.
So Lord, we ask first of all that you would impart mercy to us now, and that we would call out to you day by day, Lord, have mercy on me. And then, Lord, we just simply say to you, Lord, would you grace us out of the overabundance of the resources that you have that cover the whole heaven, the whole earth, and are so far beyond anything we can ask, think, or imagine. That's all tied up in your grace.
Yes, God.
And Lord, we just pray now that you would release to us the resources, yes, of your grace that we need. Grace us. Help us to in your grace to receive, and in your grace to then release to others graciousness.
Yes, God.
The grace that comes through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, given away to others.
Yes.
Imparted to us supernaturally through your Spirit into us. Lord, we receive that grace. Like Paul said to Timothy, Lord, we ask that you would cause us to be strong, that's in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Strong. Not a dribble of grace, a river of grace, an overflowing of grace in our lives in order to be able to be you to the people around us. And Lord, I just want to pray a special blessing for this particular group of people, having been around a family of pastors. I know that being a pastor is probably the hardest job in the world. And so I lift these people up. I know even from earlier this morning, just a conversation, that the ministry can beat us up and can take it out of us, and we can be discouraged, and we can be disheartened, and we can be all these different things that come to us because people are people and people are messes, and we have to sort of be responsible for at least dealing with some of those messes, and it can get really discouraging at times. Lord, we just confess that to you honestly.
Yes, God.
And say, Lord, would you replace discouragement with encouragement?
Yes, Lord.
Would you replace a sense of being beaten down with a sense of being of standing up?
Yes, God.
Would you replace a spirit of being so busy that we live on the surface with a spirit of going down deep and then coming up strong?
Yes, God.
Lord, none of that is in ourselves. All that's from you. Thank you that you have made each one of these men as pastors unique individuals, uniquely gifted by you. And I pray that in the context where people are constantly putting pressure on them to be something that they're not, to do something that they're not called to do, to fit into the religious system or whatever it is, Lord, I pray for them that they would live in the true identity of who you have made them to be by your mercy, by your grace, by the imparting of your Spirit in them, and by the unique way you formed them in the womb, according to Psalm 139. And that they would be able to live out of them their true selves, and that life would come from that to the people that they disciple. And when they go back, that this leadership team of people would sense that grace. They would sense that mercy. They would sense that imparting of the Spirit. They would sense that living in their true identity of being authentic and real and honest before others. And that that would be a life-giving flow. And Lord, on the other side of that coin, I want to pray for those religious people in the churches that they represent who will kick against that, just like they did against Jesus. And I pray that you give these people courage to be able to stand for love and truth, to be able to stand for grace and mercy, to be able to stand for life in the Spirit, not death in the flesh. And would you give them grace for that for every day of their lives? And would you take all the things that we've said here and cause them to take all that and do with it as you have uniquely spoken to them and designed them to do, for the grace, for the glory of Jesus, and for the good of the church, for the building up of all the little cells in the body, for the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Just if you would stay kneeling for a moment, I'm going to ask Barry to just go around down the row and just lay hands on each person. He's not going to take long, but I want him to lay hands on us. And Jesus, we want to come before you today. And Lord, as leaders, we want to, Lord, repent from our hearts for when we've tried to do work ministry with the arm of the flesh,
grace and mercy,
with our own good ideas.
That beautiful little baby of yours.
And Lord, we don't want to go home and try to do this in our own strength. Lord, we want to model something new, Jesus.
Grace,
we humble ourselves and we acknowledge, Lord, that we need you by your Spirit to do this in us. And I pray, Lord, that as we go home and as every pastor here goes home,
God gives you
every man, every woman, every co-pastor, every associate pastor, Lord, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that, Lord, as you impart to us by your Spirit, Lord, that you begin to download your strategy. Lord, we're not looking for the Ishmael, Lord. We want the promise. We want the real thing, Lord. We don't want to accomplish it any other way than by your grace and by your Spirit. So, Lord, I believe that strategies and growth and fruit, Lord, that's all coming, Lord, to every church that's represented here, every ministry that's represented here, God. There's growth coming by your Spirit. Help every pastor and every leader here to come up with their core team. Help them to identify their disciples. Help them to be intentional. Help them to be focused. Help them to cut through the busyness and to be able to focus on what is important. And give every one of these leaders the nurturing grace to shepherd like David did with integrity. We thank you in Jesus' name for this incredible group of pastors here. And we honor you this morning, Lord, that you've brought all these leaders here, Lord, to be changed and transformed in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Come, Holy Spirit. Those of you in the audience, if you would just extend your hands to these precious leaders and pray for them. If your pastor is up here, just agree for transformation. Lord, we didn't just come to this event to just have fun with each other, Lord. We pray there will be change as from this moment on. Every church that's represented here, Jesus. Lord, there's something like 9 states represented at this altar. And we're praying, Lord, that not only will you give us your strategy for discipleship, but that it will result in impact in our culture. Bring transformation, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What I'm going to ask next is if there could just be a little hole created up here in the front. And I want the youth pastors who are here. There's not as many youth pastors, but I want the youth pastors to stand in the middle. And I want some of these pastors, you don't have to go back to your seat, because I want us to surround the youth pastors. And I want them to feel the love and the support of the pastors. Anybody else here who's a youth pastor? And I'm going to ask Barry to pray over the youth pastors again.
Pastors Chris, Alec, Valera, Alec, and Michael. No, not Michael. So we've got four of them. Any other youth pastors? Another youth pastor. Okay. Oh, Lord Jesus, these guys here, Lord, I've given my life to guys like this. And what a privilege it is. Because here's the church 10 years from now. They're the church now. But what they're doing now is going to dramatically impact the church in the next 10 years. And Lord, you've picked these four guys here to be here this week by your divine providence and by your will. And so, Lord, I just lift up my hand to you to receive from you grace and mercy to give to them. I pray that you'd give them, grace for youth ministry. Sometimes pastors think it's a little goofy, but it's not. And Lord, I pray that in Psalm 78, that they would see the things that have been hidden. And that they would raise up parents and leaders who would step out to say the younger generation really is our most valuable asset that we hold in the church. It's not our money, it's not our building, it's our kids. And Lord, you would give them grace and give them mercy and give them an impartation of your Spirit to be able to step into those roles in a mature way, even though they're younger, and in a wise way, even though they're younger. And in a way that gives strong and courageous leadership, even though they're younger. And Lord, that they would be, that the people, the pastors and the other leaders and parents of the church would see them as they are, men of God. Men of God who have been called by you to minister to those kids. And Lord, I pray that you would give those people in their churches a graceful spirit toward them. And a love toward them and an encouragement toward them instead of a pushback expression to them of what they ought to be doing that they're not doing. Lord, that comes to them so often, and I just pray, Lord, that you would just step into each of these four guys' lives in a way that a year from now their ministries would be transformed by the grace of God, transformed by the mercy of God, transformed by the Spirit of God, transformed by a disciple-making spirit where parents and leaders and these guys would be discipling kids, and those kids would be reaching out to their friends to disciple the younger ones and to reach their friends. And Lord, that spirit would just be pervasive in the lives and the ministries of these four guys for the sake of the churches they represent and for the Spirit of God to move in those places in ways that are illustrative and examples to the rest of the church about what the church needs to be about. Grace them. In Jesus' name, amen.
And launching from that, I want Alex Ankovich to come and sit in this chair. And I'd like for some of the pastors to gather around him, maybe up behind. And maybe everybody could kind of move to the side so that people in the seats can see. This is not an ordination, but I felt like we needed to pray over Alex, because some of you may not know Alex. He's a part of a Slavic church in Philadelphia. He's the youth pastor in that church. But the Slavic Russian-speaking denomination that he's a part of, there's a lot of churches all over the United States, and their leaders have asked Alex to step into a role of being in charge of all the youth pastors, you know, all throughout the whole East Coast, and I think even more, even the whole country, right? Just East Coast. And that's like how many churches? So it's a lot of churches. And one thing you have to understand about the Russian-speaking churches is they don't pay their people that they put in positions like this. So it's basically like coming and asking you to take on a full-time job while you're working. While he's pastoring the youth of his church and pastoring the youth pastors in his network. So it's a gigantic responsibility. You know, he's stepping into it with a lot of questions. I want to ask Barry to pray over Alex. And it's just, there's so many Russian young people in the United States, and this is a huge, huge opportunity, but we want to pray that God will give Alex the grace to know how to do this.
Yes. Lord, before I pray for Alex, I just want to thank you for the incredible privilege of having been able to minister to Russia and Eastern Europe since 1988. And so to pray over Alex here for me is such a privilege, because he represents so many people that I love who are Russian, Slavic by background, all over the world. Lord Jesus, I do pray for Alex. I pray what I prayed for the pastors, that you would give him grace and mercy and impart to him your spirit. But Lord, I also pray for him that you would give him wisdom. From my conversation with him yesterday, which was quite intriguing, for those of you who are listening in here, the Lord was just kind of helping us figure out how to go about structuring all this in a way that didn't drive him insane and actually made some sense. And so we're still working through that. So Lord Jesus, I come before you on Alex's behalf saying, Lord, would you give him wisdom?
Yes, God.
And would you give his superiors understanding?
Yes, God.
To accept his wisdom about what he's supposed to do about this. It's a big deal. It involves a lot of people. It could drive him into the ground, or done correctly, it could raise up life and ministry for young people, these churches all over the East Coast. To do it the way everybody wants them to do it is not smart. We can just say that out loud. And so, Lord, I pray that you give him wisdom to know how to think about this and then how to communicate the vision of what needs to happen to the people around him, who are the people who are inviting him into this. And that you'd help him to know how to take the things that we have learned here that are so on his heart, and he's already doing so many of them, to take these things and to make his church a model of multiplication, a place where people can look at it and say, ah, that's the way we're supposed to be doing this.
Yes, God.
And Lord, I pray that you would just give him grace to know how to reach out to these other leaders and like Lee's spirit, just draw them in, to draw them in, love on them, care for them, point them in a way that's not arrogantly saying, look at us, but is saying, look at what God's done here. You can do this too.
Yes, God.
No matter how large or small their youth groups are. Lord, would you bless all of those Slavic churches in their region and all of those Slavic churches around the East Coast. And Lord, while we're just praying, we'll pray for all those Slavic churches around the world who desperately, desperately, desperately need what we're talking about right here. Lord, would you step in all those places where we'll never go, we'll never be. And even from this place right here where we're on our knees in front of Alex, that you would raise up leaders who touch other Russian churches, not only in this country, but really in time around the world.
Yes, God.
For the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, one more thing we're going to pray for. I've asked Mike Bradley to come and sit in this chair. He didn't know I was calling him up here, and then he came up and he had a prophetic word for Alex. But we're going to pray for Mike, if you would sit here. Those of you who met Mike represents a network of churches called the Alliance of Renewal Churches. And how many of those are?
40-something.
There's 40-something churches. They are charismatic churches that came out of a Lutheran background, and we have guys from one of their churches back here. In fact, would you guys come up here and pray with us for Mike? I'm going to ask Barry to pray over Mike, because not only is he here representing You know, I mean, he's representing 40-something churches, and he's the apostolic leader for all of those leaders. And he came here because he knew God had an appointment for him here. And before we pray for you, Mike, would you share with Alex what the Lord put on your heart?
Yeah. Alex, test this and weigh it. But the word I think the Lord has for you is this. This is the year of my favor, and you will walk in it. And as you go forward into this new venture, grab hold, if you weigh that this is, and test it, that this is a word from the Lord, grab hold of it. Ask him to increase his favor on you. And as you step out into this new responsibility and overseeing the youth pastors, you're going to find things that you propose, strategies that you propose are going to be met with more favor than you had anticipated.
Mm. Amen. Okay. Lord Jesus, thank you for Mike. Thank you for his years of ministry, his years of walking with you, of knowing you, pursuing you, meeting you in so many different places along the way in the journey, Lord.
Yes, God.
Lord, I just thank you that you're not wasting any of those. The hard times, the good times, the times where you've met him in a supernatural way, the times that have felt dry and you were distant. Thank you, Lord, that you bring all of those to this day and then to tomorrow and the next day. But we're here today. And so we bring all of those experiences of his life down through the years to this time in this prayer and pray, Lord, that the favor of the Lord would be upon him. And one of my, as being an apostolic leader over other leaders myself, Lord, I thank you for the promise that you gave me, have given me, and continue to give me that I want to pass on to Mike here. May the favor, Psalm 90, may the favor of the Lord our God be upon us.
Amen.
Establish the work of our hands. The work of our hands, establish it. So, Lord, as we pray for Mike this morning, we simply pray that you would give him your favor, your grace, really, is what that word means, your grace upon him to be able to establish the work of your hands in those 40 churches. And that just as he spoke out to Alex, we pray the same thing for him, that as your favor is upon him, then he would meet with favor from other people. And where he does not, that you would, as you pour out your grace upon him, you would help him to be truthful and gracious to those people who resist that those changes. And Lord, I pray that as he experiences your favor and as he establishes the work that you've called him to do, that is right along the lines of everything we've been talking about here, that you would give him particular insights, particular understandings, particular visions, particular direction about what he's supposed to do with that. That can get very complex when you're working with 40 different churches. And I pray, Lord, that you would help him to know and see and understand from your point of view, from your perspective, exactly what he's supposed to do with each of those churches so that the favor that you've given him can be poured out on them and they in turn would be able to do exactly the kinds of things we've been talking about the last 3 days, and that would be too for the glory of Jesus Christ and for the upbuilding of the church and the kingdom of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're going to remain in an attitude of prayer because in just a minute, I'm going to dismiss you to go to your small groups one last time. And basically what we're going to do in those small groups is we're going to quickly go around the room and just, I want you to share in just very brief, say, what's the main thing you're going to go home and do in terms of implementation or releasing what we've learned? And then we're going to pray. I want you to pray for each other about that. And so, you know, you can have one person pray or...